wanted to, you know, one of the unusual things about, you know, being in Ireland was I was there for the election, which was really strange for me to be in another country watching the election happen. And it was so funny because the day after the election, a woman recognized my American accent, and she's like, "Hey, you're from America?" And I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "I'm so sorry." It was like we, you know, it was like our home was hit by a natural disaster, you know. "Oh, I'm so sorry. You have my sympathies. Oh, Trump, you know." And, you know, and then you just have to kind of go, "Well, thank you. Okay, all right. Yeah, good to know. Yeah, you know." But I wanted to just sort of address it really quick. We don't really address a whole lot politically here at Mercy Vineyard. One of the things that I love about this church is the political diversity and the fact that we still love each other. So, I mean, we've got libertarians, we've got Democrats, we've got Republicans, we've got independents, we've got conscientious observers, whatever, and we all just love each other, and I just love that we love each other, and so I'm glad that we don't, you know, we don't let politics divide us and whatever, but I just wanted to say, because, you know, when I was there, I saw a whole lot of, like, let's just narrow it, just nastiness, right? There's worry, there's nastiness, there's all, I mean, it's like, you know, I had people going, "I give up on Facebook, I'm done," you know, and I just wanted to just mention just a couple of things. When you're going through something like this, when your country's going through something like this, and maybe your neighbors are mad at each other, maybe you were unfriended on Facebook, maybe your feelings were hurt, maybe you're disappointed, maybe you're fearing the future, it's a really, really, really good time to listen more and talk less. This is just kind of one of those environments, one of those situations where it's really good to just listen and talk less. And listening is really valuable to people. You know, I have to tell you, it took me almost 20 years of marriage to understand the value of listening, just simply listening, and the peace that it brought into our home when we just kind of learned to listen. And the other thing that I wanted to kind of just mention, and again, I'm not going to take a whole lot of time with this, is that godly change in our culture, godly change in our city, godly change in our nation, godly change happens from the bottom up. And we have to kind of understand that godly change doesn't happen from the top down. It happens from the bottom up. It means that you and I, we allow God to change us, and we walk in godliness, and we walk in the things, and we value the things that Jesus values, and we do the things that he did, and godly change happens from the bottom up. So it's you and me. And we'll talk a little bit about that today because we're talking about a passion for our city. And then the last thing is this. This one's hard to say. If we were as passionate about the gospel as we were about our politics, Jesus could just come back now. You know what I'm saying? If we were just passionate about the kingdom of God and about spreading the good news and doing the things that Jesus did, if we were as passionate about the kingdom as we were about our politics, oh my word, what a different world we would live in. And so kind of let that be. Let that just kind of be a little bit of a litmus test for you. Let that be a little bit of a self-check for you. Maybe kind of let that be, do a little self-evaluation and ask yourself, am I as passionate about Jesus as I am about politics? Am I as passionate about Jesus as I am about being heard about my opinion or my fears or my gloating or my whatever it is, you know? And we need to be people that are more passionate about Jesus than we are about anything else. Anything else. Anything else, okay? So let's just do the things that Jesus did. Let's keep our eyes on the kingdom. Let's keep our eyes on eternity. And so I just want to kind of encourage you with that, that we're citizens of the kingdom of God. You know, our hope is in a higher power. And let's just keep doing what we're doing, because I love you guys so much, and I love the fact that y'all love each other so much, even though you're on so many different places in the political spectrum. I love that about our church, that we're not just a flat, one-dimensional, you know, whatever. So let's just pray real quick before I kind of move on with the message, and just pray just for a minute for our country. Pray just for a minute for each other. Father, I pray today, God, that you'd help us to be people that know how to listen. God, we can't listen if we're shouting. And God, I ask that you would help us to be people that really listen well. Give us ears to hear. And God, I pray that you'd help us to understand that we are kingdom people. We're not to be caught up in civilian affairs, as your word says, God. We're kingdom people. And God, I pray that you would challenge us to be more passionate about you than anything else. God, challenge us to be passionate about the gospel. Challenge us, God, to be passionate about loving others. God, we should be prophets and professional lovers. That's what we should be. So God, stir in our hearts, God, a passion for the things that you are passionate about, that our hearts would reflect yours. God, we love you so much, and we praise you. We want to bring glory and honor to you, and we want to love in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen? Yeah, does that sound good to everybody? Yeah? Are you sure? Yeah? Okay. I don't want anybody to go unfriend me on Facebook now because of that. But y'all be like, okay. So, because I'm really insecure, and if you unfriend me, I'll cry. Not really. So this morning, what we're doing, first of all, hey, let's do our vision statement. This is what we're about as a church, just in case you remember, because vision tends to leak. This is what we are. We're that's not it. I must not have put it in. I put it in there. We don't even need a slide. Heck with the slides. We exist, right? We are living a passionate mission, say it with me, to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That's why we exist as a church. It's for no other reason. We exist to live a passionate mission, to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. This morning, we are wrapping up our two-part series on living a passionate mission for our city. We love our city, right? We love Moline. We love Rock Island. We love our city. And one of the things that I love about Quad Cityans, this is really strange because until I moved to the Quad Cities, I never really experienced this anywhere else, and I've lived in several different cities. But one of the things that I love about the Quad Cities, Quad Cityans, is how much they love the Quad Cities. I don't know if you know this, but there's not a whole lot of cities out there where the people who live there are as passionate and in love with their cities as the Quad Cities are. It's really strange. Like, and I remember when I first came to the Quad Cities, and it was our very first day here, was a Sunday. We pulled in on a Sunday afternoon. It was probably around 3 or 4 o'clock to a candidate at a church. In other words, they were interviewing us to come and be their youth pastors. And I remember pulling in to Moline, and my very first response, my very first response to seeing Moline was, ew. Is this really where you're leading us, God? I mean, ew. You know, I hope you're not offended by that. That's just, if you're not from Moline, if you didn't grow up here, you may have experienced that too. But I just remember just pulling in and going, man, this place is really run down. This is like, there's like no new construction going on anywhere. I mean, the average house is like 100 years old, it seems like. And I was just kind of like, ew, you know. And it felt outdated. It felt drab. And that was my first response. And then this crazy thing happened. I got to know people here. You know, that danger, right? Yeah, I got to know people here. And they had this, like, contagious passion about their city that rubbed off on me. And so, you know, where I went from going, ew, to going, I'm planting a church here. This place is awesome. You know, this is where I want to be. This is, you know, I want to see God move here. I want to see God sweep through the streets. I want to see God bring change, you know. And I fell in love with the place, and now here I am, and we bought a house. Literally, we'd been married like 20 years before we ever even bought a house, and we bought a house in the Quad Cities. It's craziness, okay? So here we are, and I love that Quad Cityans. Yeah, okay, it's a little bit out of town, all right? Forget, yeah, I... Close enough. I am not a hypocrite. Okay, so. I consider myself a Quad Cityan, all right? So, Sherrard's close enough, all right? So, but people have this sort of contagious passion about this place. This, you know, and it's really cool. And as Christ followers, one of the things that that we have to understand, as Christ followers who live in the Quad Cities, as Christ followers who are where God planted us, because I believe that no matter who you are, if you're right here, right now, you are here and you are in this place for such a time as this. This is where God has you. This is where God has us, okay? And as Christ followers, you know, Jesus didn't just come along, because we like to be like, oh, you know, Jesus came and he saved us from stuff, right? Jesus saved me from my sins. Jesus saved me from this addiction. He saved me from that. But the fact of the matter is that if you are following Jesus, Jesus didn't just save you from a bunch of stuff. He saved you for some stuff as well, right? So Jesus doesn't just save us from something, he saves us for something, and that thing that Jesus saves us for is changing our city. It's changing the world. That's what Jesus saved us for, to be change agents in our world. And that's why we're here. That's why we planted a church. We didn't plant the church just because we needed a new gathering place for believers. We planted a church because we wanted to be a change agent in our community and in our world. And so Jesus calls us to declare the kingdom of God, right? And we do that, you know, he calls us to do things to help abolish addiction in our city. He calls us to help abolish domestic violence in our city. He calls us to abolish brokenness in our city. He hasn't just saved us from something, he saved us for something. And he calls us to exalt Jesus in our city. That's why we're here. That's why, you know, we just had our Halloween party. It was amazing. We had we gave away like 240 hot dogs, so we had at least that many people here, you know. It was just incredible. And it was a chance to see a smile on their face, to hug some necks, to give away a bunch of candy, to see a bunch of smiles, to show them that the church isn't a place where we're just circling the wagons, that we're just us four, no more. We're just a dedicated few here. We're just over here doing this thing. But we're here because we love our city. We love our neighborhood. We love where God has planted us. And that's what God has called us for, has saved us for, okay? To exalt Jesus in our city. And the hope of our nation, right? The hope of our city is not centered on a new president. It's not. The hope of our city, the hope of our nation is not centered on who has the majority of political power. That's not where our hope is. And it's centered on the person of Jesus. That's where our hope is centered. That's where my hope is centered. My hope is centered on the person of Jesus. And it's on laying our lives down for the kingdom. That's where hope comes. That's where change comes. Change doesn't come when we just simply sit and agree that we need change. Change comes when we say, I'm going to lay my life down for the kingdom of God. This is what I'm here for, people. This is why I exist. It's for laying my life down for the kingdom of God. And so that's why we're here. That's what God has saved us for. Our community is transformed when we leave this building. That's when our community has changed. That's when the world has changed. It's when we leave this building, okay, and we go back to our schools, we go back to our workplaces, and we partner God to rewrite the stories of our neighbors' lives, right? Of our coworkers' lives and everyone else that we encounter. You see, because there's a story being written. There's a narrative. You know, I've often said about the whole election, I said, hey, be careful about the election because the media is writing the narrative, right? Be careful about the media is writing the narrative. Ask anybody who's ever worked in media and they'll tell you there's a bias, there's a narrative, there's a story that's being written that they want us to all follow. And in the same way, there's a story being written about your city. There's a story being written about your family. There's a story being written about the place that you work, okay? And it's our job to help to write that story, okay? Not just to watch it unfold, but to be participants in the story and to rewrite the narrative that's being written about where we work and being written about our city and being written about our world, okay? So what can we learn? What can we learn about from Scripture, about partnering with God, about transforming our cities, okay, about having a passion for our city? We're going to talk about that, okay? But again, real quick, I just want to pray. And Father, I pray this morning that your word would come alive in us. God, that as your people who were saved for something, we would be involved in that thing that you saved us for. That we wouldn't stop with you saved us from something, but we would continue to walk in what you saved us for. That we would be a part of writing the story in our city. That we would partner with you, God, who is the author and God, the one who created it all, that we would partner with you to rewrite the story of our city, God, from brokenness to hope, God, from addiction to freedom, God, from condemnation to forgiveness. Oh, God, that we would help rewrite the story of Moline, of Rock Island, of Davenport, of Bettendorf, God, of the Quad Cities area. God, that we would partner with you to write the story. God, we have the opportunity to write history. Oh, let us never forget that. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to start off with a scripture here. It's looking at one of the things that Jesus did when he was training his disciples. So we all know Jesus had 12 disciples. They lived with him. They ate together. They walked together. They did everything together. And Jesus was training them because he was going to release them to go change the world, right? I mean, he's putting a lot of hope in these 12 guys. And in this instance, he gathered together about 84 disciples in total. So we're talking about the inner circle, the 12, and then a few more, okay? And he sent them out to different cities, and the idea was, hey, go and make a difference. Go and do something. Go and cast out some demons. Go and heal some sick. Go do something. And it's from Luke. It's chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and then I'm going to tack on verse 9, and it goes like this. It says, the Lord now chose 72 other disciples. Remember I said 12 plus a few more. Okay, 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great. Okay, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. All right? So here's what we're alive for, and I think it's probably been up there for about 10 minutes now. We're alive here and now to change the story of our city. We're alive here and now to change the story of our city. Remember, we were placed here for such a time as this. You guys did not come into the Quad Cities by accident. You weren't either born here or moved here by accident. You didn't find Mercy Vineyard by accident. We're here. We're alive here and now to change the story of our cities. So what do the disciples do? So Jesus sends the disciples out, and their job and their place, okay, they went from place to place. Their job was bringing life. They were bringing life. They're healing the sick, right? They're driving out demons. They're caring for the poor. They're altering the life of the community and leaving behind a group of people that were infected with the kingdom of God. That's what they did everywhere they went. They left life. They bring in life. They bring in life. They bring in life. Okay? And if you're ever wondering, like, why does Lee always have such a issue with ministries that are preaching condemnation, that are preaching conspiracies, because it doesn't bring life. It's not what God called us to do. He called us to bring life, right? And so Jesus said, go and bring life, heal the sick, bring life, drive out demons, care for the poor, okay? And so what happens when you go maybe to your workplace, or you go to your school, or you go to a family event, and you bring life to someone, and you infect them with the kingdom of God, okay? It becomes infectious. Then there's another person that's in the kingdom that is saved for something, okay? And so they went and they left behind people who were infected by the kingdom of God. And so when God saves us, it's not simply so that we can go to church, okay? I love church. I wish that everyone at Mercy that calls Mercy their home would be here every Sunday. I love church. I love going to church. I love being here. I love it when we're together. And it seems like the more that we are together and the more that we have here on a Sunday, the more energy is in our praise, the more, you know, have you ever noticed that? Like, it's almost like when you watch a funny movie by yourself, it doesn't seem that funny. You ever notice that? But you watch a funny movie with like 10 other people and it's hilarious. And you're all falling over each other. It's so funny. Okay. I feel like church is like that too. When we get together and we worship together, the more people that we have worshiping together, it's like the more awesome the praise seems. Okay? That's just, That's the way, that's like a body dynamic that I can't explain, but there it is. So I wish, yeah, that everyone would be at church, but God didn't save us simply so that we can go to church. That wasn't his end game. God wasn't like, all right, you saved, he's going to church now. You're all doing a good job, I'll be back. You know, that wasn't what it was all about, okay? It wasn't so that we could just simply go to church. And he didn't bring us into his kingdom just so that we could start listening to K-Love either, all right? I'm just saying, you know, it's like we're more interested in kind of getting people into adopting a certain Christian culture than we are about, you know, releasing and setting free and expanding the kingdom, okay? He didn't do that just so that we could, you know, he didn't save us just so that we can watch only Christian movies now. He didn't. That's not what it was all about. He saved us so that we would change the story of our city, so that we would change the story of the people around us. He didn't just save us from something; he saved us for something. I remember before we even moved into this building, and some of you guys remember back in the day when we were meeting in the back room at Fireworks Coffee House, and we were looking for a building. And I came down here, and I drove down here for the first time to check out this building. And it had a big sign on the side that said the Boulevard, and I think Linda told me about it, and we drove down here, and I just thought, hey, let's just drive around the neighborhood a little bit. Let's just check it out. We'll just drive around the neighborhood. We'll pray, and we'll just see what happens. And before I know it, we get maybe a block down this way, if that, and we're pulled over by an undercover narcotics officer, and he pulls us over. And he's like, what are you guys doing? I noticed you're just kind of driving around kind of slowly. yeah. And I just said, well, we're thinking about starting a church right there in the corner. And he's like, okay, well, there's a lot of drugs in this neighborhood. There's a lot of drugs. And I was like, I don't know. Check that house over there at Kitty Corner. I'm just kidding. That's where it all comes out of. No. And no. And so, like, and we're like, well, we're going to start a church here. And what's really cool is that I've had neighbors tell me, you know, neighbors that don't even come to church here just say how much they appreciate us being here in the corner and how much they appreciate us doing things like camp and how much they appreciate us doing the Halloween party and how much just they appreciate that we're here. And it's just so amazing how just simply just the presence of us here worshiping has done that, and even the acts of service that we've done, and doing the cleanup, and doing the car wash, and how many people were blown away when they came to get their car wash, and we gave them $1, you know, and it's just been amazing, okay? And so our city has a story, our neighborhood has a story, and we see that story on the news, don't we? You know, if you help out with camp, you hear the story of our city through the foster kids. And they share their stories, and it's so, so heartbreaking. I'll never forget our very first camp. I'm driving, you know, we borrowed a van from the Vineyard at Davenport, and we had the girls in the van, and then we had another vehicle where the boys rode in. And Wendy and I are sitting in the van, and we're driving all the girls, and this girl is just sitting right behind us, and she's just sharing the story how she's in foster care because her father died from taking too much medicine. You know, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm just holding back the tears because they're just saying, "Don't let the kids see you cry." I can't. That's a bad thing. You know, don't let the kids see it. But I'm sitting here, and I'm just got tears welling up in my eyes, and I'm just, you know, trying my best not to cry in front of this kid, and I just kept thinking, God, we, you know, somebody needs to come and rewrite their story. You know, somebody needs to come along and rewrite these kids' stories. And that's our job, right? As people of God, it's to rewrite the stories of these kids. It's to rewrite the story of our city. It's to rewrite the story of our schools. And that's what he saved us for. And so our city has a story. And we see the story. We see the story whenever we turn on the news, right? We hear the story told by foster kids. We hear the story when we turn on the news and we see another shooting. We see another thing of domestic violence. When we see another robbery. When we look at the troubles in our city, we're seeing the story. We're seeing the narrative of our city play out. And God says, hey, I want you guys to rewrite that story. I want you to be involved in that story. I want you to rewrite those kids' stories. I want you to rewrite those family stories. And he's calling us us to declare his kingdom, right? And that's what he calls us to do, to declare his kingdom. And we do that when we reach out. And with acts of compassion, we reach out and we pray and we help to heal the sick, okay? And he calls us to declare his kingdom and to change the story of our city. That's why we're alive. That's why we're here, okay? That's why he wants us to have a passion for our city. And so I want you to remember this next thing is our city is our mission field. That's our mission field. Yeah, we take missions. We go to Haiti and we go to Ireland and we do those things. But our city is our main mission field. It's our main mission field. And so let me just drill that down for you. Really, like really super specific for you. This is where your mission is. Every place that you find yourself on a regular basis is your mission field. Every place that you find yourself on a regular basis is your mission field. The coffee shop that you hit a couple times a week, that's your mission field. The place you work at every day, that's your mission field. The school you attend, that's your mission field. Okay? The people that you see on a regular basis is your mission field. That's where you need to be. God didn't just place you in your job so that you can pay your bills. Okay, I know there's something that may a little. Some of you are like, well, it doesn't matter because I can barely pay my bills anyway, you know. But like, God didn't just place you in your job so that you can pay your bills. That wasn't his purpose for you. That's your mission field. You're with them every day. You have an opportunity to speak into their lives like nobody else. If you're a teacher, you have a ministry to students and the faculty. That's your ministry, okay? If you're in food service, you have a ministry to your coworkers and to your customers. If you're an entrepreneur, you have a ministry to your customers. You have a ministry to your vendors. That's your mission field. And God's desire is for us to change the story at our workplace. That's God's desire for us, okay? And what he wants is for us to bring this climate that we have here, where we're able to pray for each other, we're able to love each other, we're able to worship God. He wants us to bring the climate that we have here to the places that we work. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, think about that. Those of you who can't stand going to work. I mean, how many times, I meet people all the time like, oh, I can't stand the atmosphere at my work. I can't stand the climate at work. Then change it. Then change it. Then bring the presence of God with you into work, right? Then bring him, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Change it, okay? That's what God is, he calls us to do. Bring this climate to our jobs and to proclaim the kingdom of God there. To proclaim the kingdom of God there. And so your work, can I just say, I need to say, like, your work, wherever you work, wherever it is, TV station, 911 operator, you know, schools, wherever you work, okay, your job has just as much of the glory of God on it as mine does. You know, being a pastor doesn't mean that I've got more of the glory of God on my job than you do. I don't. In fact, you guys have opportunities that I do not. I mean, what am I going to do? Am I going to come in? I come into here, the little prayer room. I sit at a table. Who am I going to bless there? You know, I'm just working on blessing you guys on Sundays. I try to do my best. But you guys get to be around people who need a new story written. You guys are the missionaries of Mercy Vineyard Church. You guys are the ministers of God's kingdom who get to be around people who need the presence of God in their life. Okay? So you guys have just as much of the glory of God, if not more, on your job than I have on mine. Okay? And so I just need to make a side note for those of you who go to work and hate your jobs, which, you know, that could be just about anybody at any time. But the worst thing that we can do when we go to our jobs, the very worst thing that we could do when we go to our jobs is complain. Okay, so when you go and you're standing around the water cooler and your boss has not been very likable and you're complaining about your boss, man, don't do that. The worst thing you do is complain about your conditions there, complain about your boss. The worst thing that you could do for the kingdom of God in your job is to complain, okay? Because you can't complain and walk in the promises of God at the same time. Just look at the Old Testament, right? What happened when the children of Israel complained? Did they receive the promises of God? No. And if you don't understand that, just go back and read your Bible, read the Old Testament, okay? We can't walk in the promises of God and complain at the same time, all right? So I remember I just got back from a missions trip, right? How effective do you think I would have been to the people that I was ministering to if I complained to them? Oh my goodness, the roads here stink. Ugh, gosh, and I can't even understand some of the people with their accents. They're too strong. Those country Irish, their accents too strong. You know, I mean, could you imagine What a horrible, terrible witness I would have been had I complained to the people I was there to minister to, right? And so in that same way, when we go to work and we complain, we're blowing it. We're blowing it. We need to stop that, okay? We need to begin to declare the kingdom of God, to declare hope, to set the captives free, to bring healing to the sick, right? And to rewrite the story, because we're not rewriting the story by going to work and complaining. And so remember that when you're at work and the next time you're about to complain, just be like, how are you doing? How's it going? How can I pray for you, man? Okay? And so God didn't lead you to buy a house in your neighborhood either just because it was close to your favorite shops and restaurants. You know, you're in your neighborhood for a reason, for a reason. You know, and so our city is our mission field, and Jesus sends us to our workplaces. He sends us to our neighborhoods. He sends us to the schools to heal the sick, to proclaim that He is the hope of the world. He is the hope of the world. And you know what's interesting right now, and I didn't plan this when I wrote this, is right now we have such an opportunity, an unprecedented opportunity in our workplaces to reflect the glory of God while everybody else is all worked up. What a great opportunity that we have. Hey, God's in control. You know what? I'm not even worried about it at all, because my hope is in someone more powerful than the president. My hope is in, you know, someone more powerful than politics or position. Okay? And so you're in your neighborhood. You're in your place for a reason. Okay? And it's to infect people with the kingdom of God, to be infectious with the kingdom of God. And so the last but not least, true discipleship changes the narrative. Okay? True discipleship changes the narrative. So as we grow in Jesus, as we're discipled by Him, as we walk it out, because what did Jesus do with His disciples? He didn't just teach, He sent them out, right? Because we just read that. So that was part of their discipleship plan, was to go out and do something. And so we've all read and we've heard about the narrative of our culture, okay? We've all heard the stories of terrorist attacks. We've all heard the stories of racially motivated violence. We've all heard the stories of, you know, violent protests over the election. And it's a narrative that brings fear into our families, doesn't it? That brings fear into people. When you read those things, when you hear those things, it brings fear into people, brings discouragement into people. People are more scared now than they've ever been, I think. Maybe. I don't know. Right? But they're pretty scared. There's a lot of fear out there. Okay? There's a lot of discouragement out there, but God wants us to bring encouragement, to write the narrative of our culture. So as the church, as His people, we're not to just simply sort of watch the culture, maybe even engage into the complaining and the fears of the culture. As the church, our job is to change the culture, is to write the culture, is to create the culture. Okay? And one of the best things that you can do is begin to create the culture at your work. Be happy. Right? Be happy and rejoice. Okay? But go to work and change the culture. Be a change agent of the culture. When everybody else around you is complaining, be the one that's saying, wow, what a beautiful day. And what an awesome God we have. And you know what? There's hope. And let me tell you about that hope. Okay? So it's our job to write the narrative. And He wants us to bring hope. And He wants us to bring healing. He wants us to share the good news. Right where we live, right where we work, right where we learn, until everyone recognizes and declares that Jesus is Lord. We just keep doing it till then, right? Till everyone recognizes that Jesus is Lord, okay? And He wants us, as His disciples, to partner with Him to change lives. Because here's what happens when you change a life. Eventually you change a city. It's changed lives that change cities, okay? It's changed lives that change cities. So if you're able to touch two lives at your work and they're able to touch two lives, if you're able to change one neighbor, if you're able to bring hope to somebody else, you know, when we change lives, we change cities. That's how it happens, okay? It doesn't happen, it's you, okay? It's you and it's me. Like, there's no plan B here, you know? It's not like God is standing back going, hey, okay, you guys, this is how it's done. I saved you for this. But if you don't do that, that's okay. The angels are going to come down and take care of things. No. It's us. There's no plan B. There's no plan B, okay? And so he uses us to change lives, to rewrite the story, all right? I want to do something. I felt kind of compelled to do this. But I just want everybody just to close their eyes for a minute. Just go ahead and just close your eyes. Let's just take like 2 or 3 minutes just to do a little imagining. I think that we get so focused on what's happening and what we're reading and all of those. We get so focused that we fail to imagine our neighborhood story reflecting God's glory. I mean, just imagine, just for a minute, what your workplace would look like if you were able just to bring hope to like two people. How that would change the atmosphere of your office, or change the atmosphere of where you work, or change the atmosphere. I mean, imagine that. Imagine that. Just even two people, how that would change the story of your workplace. Imagine your neighborhood where you live. And just even just one of your neighbors coming and finding hope in Jesus, becoming a part of the kingdom. Imagine laying hands on the sick wherever you go, wherever your mission field is that we talked about, wherever you visit the most. Imagine laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. Oh, how awesome is that? Imagine, because we all know people who have just given up. They have given up. And imagine sharing hope with someone who has given up and seeing them follow Jesus. Imagine a transformed Quad Cities. Can we just pray? Can we pray for that together today? Can we pray for that together today? Let's just kind of turn this into just a prayer meeting, just for a minute. Here's what I want to do. This might be like massively uncomfortable to some of you, but I want to do it anyway, and I want to challenge you to step out of your comfort zone. But what I want to do is I want to pray for workplaces today, or neighborhoods, or whatever your mission field is. Okay, so it might be where you work, it might be a place, a coffee shop that you frequent, it might be your family or people that you get together with on a regular basis, it could be a hobby group or something like that that you're involved in or whatever. But I want to just take a minute to pray, just short prayers for those things. And I want you to just call them out from where you're sitting. And so you can call out where you work, and you can just say a quick prayer. You can just whatever, because I want to just have a little prayer meeting for that. Okay? And I'll start out. I'm going to pray for the neighborhood, but then I want to give you a chance. You can go ahead and just call out where you work. You can call out your neighbor. You can call out whatever, and just begin to pray for them. And let's just imagine and pray for transformation, that we would rewrite their stories. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up this neighborhood. I lift up the Old Town area, God, of Moline. And I pray, God, that you would use us to rewrite the story of our neighborhood. God, I pray for those, Lord, who are addicted. I pray for those, God, who are just lost without any hope at all. And I ask, God, that you would bring deliverance into their lives, that you would set them free from addiction, from alcohol addiction, from drug addiction. God, for marriages and families that are just completely torn apart because of alcohol, because of addiction, I ask, God, that you would bring restoration, that you would bring hope. God, that you would even use us, Lord, to help identify them and to be there for them, God, and to minister to them. So, God, I pray for freedom and transformation for our neighborhood.